Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Q1 2013 JinkoSolar Holding Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Friday, the 7th of June, 2013. I would now like to turn the call over to your speaker for today, Mr. Sebastian Liu, JinkoSolar Director of Investor Relations. Thank you, Mr. Liu. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's first quarter 2013 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on the Newswire services. We have also provided supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar, Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Akio Hirayo, Chief Marketing Officer, and Mr. Zhang Longgen, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss Jinko's business operations and company's highlights, followed by Mr. Hirayo, who will talk about the company's business strategies, and then Mr. Zhang, who will go through the financials and guidance. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under applicable law. Please be noted that to supplement its consolidated financial results presented in accordance with the United States generally accepted accounting principles or GAAP, JinkoSolar uses certain non-GAAP financial measures. The company believes that the use of non-GAAP information is useful for analysts and investors to evaluate Jinko's current and future performances based on a more meaningful comparison of net income and diluted net income per ADS when compared with its peers and historical results from prior periods. These measures are not intended to represent or substitute numbers as measures under GAAP. The submission of non-GAAP numbers is voluntary and should be viewed together with GAAP results. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢Seb，大家早上、晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
尽管组件供大于求的现象仍在持续，且全球经济仍充满不确定性，我们在执行公司从事盈利的战略规划以及保持全球经济增长的目标上，仍保持坚定不移的信心。
Despite the ongoing challenges of supply chain disruptions and cost inflation, our company achieved 2013年同期的232.6兆瓦，其中组件出货量238.4兆瓦，比2012年同期的463.6兆瓦，同比上升了36%。一季度总收入1.873亿美元，同比增长9.7%。这充分表明公司在迅速变化的市场环境下所采取的战略和措施是行之有效的。
We are pleased with the substantial progress we have been making in executing our strategy and regaining profitability during the first quarter.
We continue to maintain our leading position in global PV market in the face of a continual module oversupply and weak global economic growth. I'm encouraged by the progress we have been made in reducing our cost and expanding our geographic reach. With our industry-leading cost structure and improving ASPs, we reached a 12.7% gross margin, which I'm proud to say is among the industry highest for PV product manufacturers. Total module shipment grew in both volume and geographic reach, with 338.6 megawatts shipped during the first quarter, including 282.4 megawatts of solar modules, which represents a year-over-year increase of 36% from 249 megawatts during the same period of 2012. Total revenue during the quarter were $187.3 million US dollar, a 9.7% increase from the same period last year. We believe that this quarter's result demonstrates that the effectiveness of the measures we have taken to adapt to our diverse customer base and the improvements in our operational efficiency in a rapidly changing solar power environment.
公司在2013年第一季度成功发行了8亿元人民币企业债，随后又与国开行签订了3.6亿人民币的贷款协议，这使公司运营资本和现金储备得到了进一步的增强，也反映出金融机构和资本市场对于公司长期增长的潜力与业务发展的可持续性充满信心。我们希望利用这些资源进一步扩大销售覆盖区域，并拓展下游项目储备，坚定地实施公司战略部署。
Following the 800 million RMB we issued in corporate bonds during the first quarter of 2013, we received another 316 million RMB loan from China Development Bank, which has greatly improved our working capital position and cash reserves. We believe this support from respected institutions and the financial markets is a clear vote of confidence in our long-term growth potential and sustainable business development. We are eager to use these resources to expand our geographic presence and project development pipeline, as we are now committed more than ever to seeing our strategy through.
除了增强运营资本和现金状况外，公司先进的技术和高质量的产品继续在行业内保持领先地位。公司在上月第七届 SNEC 上海国际光伏展上推出了 Eagle 2组件，和 Eagle 1一样，Eagle 2通过了85度高温及 85% 相对湿度测试条件下的抗 PID 认证，并具备更优异的性能和可靠性。同时，产品还通过了 TUE 北德沙尘测试，这证明了公司的产品在真实环境下的优异表现与可靠性。公司还有计划开发包括智能组件在内的新组件系列，能革命性地改变传统光伏组件的管理和优化方法。可以看到，得益于公司高质量的产品和不断增长的市场需求，公司的库存水平一直保持在健康合理的范围内。
In addition to our improved working capital and cash position, we continue to lead the global PV industry in state-of-the-art development of efficient and reliable solar products. Recently, at the 7th ASNEC International PV Photovoltaic Power Generation Conference exhibition in Shanghai, we unveiled our newest series of Eagle 2 solar modules. Like their predecessor, the Eagle 1, this series are also certified PID-free under weather condition of 18.5 degrees centigrade and 85% relative humidity, and represent a higher standard of performance and reliability. They are also dust and sand certified by Tube Nor, underlying how effective we have become and reliably delivering the best performers in diverse real-world conditions. We also have plans to develop new series of modules with distinctive features such as smart modules, which we hope will revolutionize the way in which solar modules are managed and optimized. With such strong products and growing demand, we have been able to maintain our inventory at a relatively healthy level.
公司将继续发展包括中国、日本、美国、南非和印度等市场在内的新兴市场，以分散风险并把握新的机遇。我们希望借此减少对欧洲市场的依赖，并在未来几个季度内将欧洲出货量控制在20%之内。公司自三月份正式成立日本办公室后，积极拓展业务以满足快速发展的日本市场，并已逐步在日本市场确立了位置。目前公司已签署了几个大型订单，基于日本市场的强劲需求，公司将利用品牌优势与优质的产品和服务，不断加大对日本市场的拓展与输出。我们预计日本市场的出货量在未来几个季度内将占公司总出货量的15%左右。考虑到公司进入日本市场相对较晚，这样的成绩已令人瞩目。
We continue to expand and diversify our geographic presence in emerging foreign markets such as China, Japan, US, South Africa, and India in order to reduce our exposure and historical reliance on the European market, which we expect will account for less than 20% of our shipments in the coming quarters. We have considerably expanded our presence in Japan, having signed a few large contracts after having officially established a local sales office there in March. With demand in Japan growing rapidly, we are eager to leverage our strong reputation, excellent product quality and services to increase our exposure there. We expect that Japan will account for approximately 15% of our product shipment in the coming quarters, a considerable feat, considering we entered the Japanese market relatively late.
尽管美国市场、人寿双方影响，我们积极参与市场竞争，并与客户保持牢固的业务关系，全力为客户提供优质服务。我们预计美国市场将为公司未来的增长贡献更高的比例。 国内市场已明显从一季度的季节性放缓中回暖。作为国内市场最知名的光伏组件厂商之一，我们已经签订多个订单，包括老顾客的订单，并拓展了光伏电站的项目储备。随着销售单价的企稳回升以及市场的成熟，公司已充分做好了保持国内市场占有率以及拓展光伏项目开发及 EPC 业务的准备。此外， 公司在印度已签署数个大型订单，在南非的市场份额也进一步扩大。除了已签订的115兆瓦和81兆瓦的订单，新的机会还将不断涌现。对于欧盟6月4号公布的临时性反倾销税，我们认为这样的关税是不公平且并没有根据的。公司已开始评估关税带来的潜在影响，并积极寻找新的途径，
以确保公司在欧洲市场继续保持竞争力。Despite the circumstances in the United States, we remain fully committed to our customers there as we are now actively competing in the U.S. market and anticipate that the U.S. market will account for a large portion of our growth in the future as the market develops. Demand in China should pick up again as it emerges from the seasonality slow first quarter. As one of the most well-known PV module brands in China, we have managed to secure multiple new contracts, repeat business, and expand our project pipeline there. With the rebound ASPs and a more mature market, we are extremely well-positioned to maintain our market share as well as further develop our PV project and EPC business. In addition, we have secured a variety of large contracts in India and have increased our presence in South Africa, where we have seen a rise in repeat business opportunities following the signing of a 115 megawatts contract and an 81 megawatts contract. We are analyzing a potential impact of a preliminary affirmative anti-dumping determination announced by the European Commission on June 4th, which we believe to be both unfair and unfounded. We are determined to explore new ways to compete effectively in Europe.
展望未来， 我们对公司的发展以及财务和运营情况表示乐观。全球太阳能市场已逐步复苏，公司强健的资产负债表和现金储备、行业领先的成本结构、先进的生产工艺和技术，以及不断增强的全球业务，让我们对公司的长期增长前景非常有信心。同时，公司强大的客户关系以及卓越的声誉和品牌，也是公司持续发展的保证。
We are optimistic about our future development and financial and operation prospects. The global solar market has begun to recover, and we are poised to take full advantage of it. With a solid balance sheet and cash position, industry-leading cost structure, state-of-art solar module technology, and ever-expanding global presence, I'm confident that our long-term growth prospects will further strengthen. Our strong client relationships and reputation for excellence has driven our geographic expansion as we prudently manage our business, search for new business opportunities, and drive for future growth.
下面我向大家介绍一下公司业绩指导。2013年第二季度，我们预计太阳能组件总出货量为450至470兆瓦。
With that, I would like to quickly move on our guidance. For the second quarter of 2013, we expect that total solar module shipments to be in the range of 450 megawatts to 470 megawatts.
2013年全年太阳能组件总出货量预计为1200兆瓦到1500兆瓦，项目总开发规模预计为200兆瓦到300兆瓦。公司在2013年将保持硅片、太阳能电池和组件1200兆瓦的产能。
Full year 2013 total solar module shipments remain in the range of 1.2 to 1.5 gigawatts, and total project development scale is expected to be in the range of 200 to 300 megawatts. The company expects that its in-house annual silicon wafer, solar cell, solar module production capacities will remain at approximately 1.2 gigawatts each by the end of 2013.
Arturo 将进一步向大家介绍公司第一季度在销售和市场方面的主要成绩，以及2013年第二季度公司在主要国家和地区的战略与市场前景。
Arturo Herrera, our Chief Marketing Officer, will now discuss our major achievements in sales and marketing for the first quarter in further detail, as well as our strategy and market outlook for the second quarter in the key countries and regions.
谢谢。
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Good morning and good evening to all of you.After one of the industry's worst periods, characterized by continuous reduction on subsidies, slowing demand, and price competition, we have begun to see a substantial improvement during the first quarter as global PV markets recover. More importantly for Jinko, has been the demand coming from emerging solar markets such as India, Japan, Thailand, and South Africa. Jinko Solar has successfully established a presence in each of these markets.And is among the top leaders now. We have seen improvements in overall ASPs after more than 2 years of continuous erosion in prices. We are analyzing the potential impact of the preliminary and affirmative anti-dumping determination announced by the European Commission on June 4th, but are confident that the European markets will rebound again. We believe the preliminary announcements.To be both unfair and unfounded, as our CEO mentioned before. This will unfortunately not help the industry, and it will negatively impact demand, increasing prices for the end user, and delaying Europeans' renewable energy targets. Our shipments during Q1 2013 reached 338 megawatts, consisting of 284 megawatts of modules, which represents an increase of 12%versus previous quarter and 36% versus the year before, representing a new record of Jinko Solar. Gross margin has improved also significantly thanks to better demand, better ASPs, and the fact that we are entering into emerging solar markets and selling at higher prices. Higher shipments in Q1 2013 resulted primarily from a strong growth in the Asian Pacific region,with which countries such as India, Japan, and Thailand representing almost 100 megawatts, 35% of the total shipments. Demand for European customers also improved, especially with European companies doing business overseas. Demand in China was much lower than in previous quarters due to its rough winter season, but we expect to see strong demand during Q2, which should position Jinko once again as the leader in the Chinese PV market.Q1 was Jinko's most geographically diverse as entry into new emerging solar markets. In Q1 2013, Jinko Solar was active in 27 countries compared to only 20 in Q4 last year. Sales in Canada and Australia improved versus when compared to previous quarters, and we made our first important sales in Chile and Mexico in Latin American countries.During the quarter, we received much better visibility and saw demand for our products rise in regions outside of European, especially in China and other emerging markets. We are sold out until summer right now. This is due to the improvement in our brand recognition, bankability, and local presence in new emerging countries. We expect our efforts in emerging solar markets to be successful in the coming quarters. Specifically in South Africa, as previously announced,We have been selected for several projects in the first and second round of the public tender for large-scale PV solar projects, which include almost 200 megawatts already signed for the first two rounds, and another 81 megawatt project in first round and 115 megawatt for two different projects in the second round of the tender. In India, this quarter we ship over 50 megawatts, and we are signing a number of new contracts for future quarters. The Japanese market is also very promising due to the support in terms of subsidies, and is getting a lot of demand for solar energy projects. We have more than 100 megawatts of contracts and have already begun shipments. As I said before, in South American markets, we continue to be present and preferred supplier in tenders for large-scale projects in countries such as Chile, Mexico, and also Brazil. In Chile, our first 1 megawatt has already been installed and will soon expand to 1.4 megawatt. Aside from that, Chilectra, one of the largest utility companies in the country, has selected Ginkgo modules for the smart city in Santiago de Chile. In keeping with our learning structure, we continue to implement our expansion and diversification strategy while strengthening our global sales and marketing teams and carefully controlling costs. We are reinforcing our presence in emerging markets without entering into much cost for the structures. In terms of marketing, we continue our strategy to achieve our goal of broadening Ginkgo's brand recognition around the world while controlling the budget and spending much less than our peers. During the first quarter, we participated in many important PV exhibitions and conferences. These included the Chilean Renewable Energy Congress held in Madrid, Spain, the World Future Energy Summit in Abu Dhabi, PV America in the USA, Solar Expo in Morocco, North of Africa, and Eco Building in London, UK. Consistent with our focus on corporate social responsibilities, we also made several PV module donations to multiple charities and causes, including a donation for a forest in Valencia that was named after Ginkgo Solar. In Q2, we plan on attending major PV exhibitions, such as InterSolar in Munich, and participating actively doing speeches and conferences in Solar Plaza events and Africa Forum in Barcelona. Finally, regarding technology and the new launches, we are seeing great interest for our Eagle series PID-free at 85 degrees Celsius and 85% humidity. It's a PV module designed for high temperatures and high humidity environments, especially important for emerging PV markets such as South Africa, South American countries, and in some of the Asian Pacific regions. With that, I pass the call to Sam. Thank you very much. Hello, Sam.
Thank you, Arturo. Good morning and good evening to everyone on the call. First, I would like to walk you through our financial results for the first quarter of 2013, followed by our second quarter and full year 2013 guidance. I would like to highlight that Ginkgo Solar sales contracts in China typically differ from those used in other international markets as they incorporate retainage terms. Ginkgo Solar customers in China are allowed to withhold payment of 5 to 10% of the full contract price as a retainage for the entire durations of the contract, which typically ranges from 1 to 2 years. Given that the company recognized a significant amount of its revenue from China during the third and fourth quarters of 2012 and the first quarter of 2013, Ginkgo Solar has limited experience with respect to the collectability of the retainage under the contract. The total amounts of retainage under the retainage contracts that were not recognized as revenue were 9.5 million RMB and 62.0 million RMB for the first quarter of 2013 and the fourth quarter of 2012. Respectively, as of March 31, 2013, the accumulative amounts of retainage that were not recognized as revenue was 131.3 million RMB. Moving on, total solar product shipments in the first quarter of 2013 were 338.6 megawatts. Total revenues in the first quarter of 2013 were 1.16 billion RMB, down 0.3% sequentially and up 9.7% year-over-year. The year-over-year increase was primarily attributable to an increase in the shipment of solar modules, which was offset by the decline in ASP of solar modules. The sequential stability in the revenues was primarily attributable to the decrease of revenues from system integration projects for which the company provides EPC services, as the company recognized EPC revenues in the fourth quarter of 2012 and did not recognize such revenues in the first quarter of 2013. They were offset by an increase of revenues for the increase in shipments of solar modules. Gross margin was positive 12.7% in the first quarter of 2013, compared with 3.8% in the fourth quarter of last year and 0.7% during the same period of last year. In-house gross margin relating to in-house silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production was 13.1% in the first quarter of 2013, compared with 5.6% in the fourth quarter of 2012 and 10.8% during the same period of last year. Loss from operations in the first quarter of 2013 was 16.8 million RMB, compared with loss from operations of 733.7 million RMB in the fourth quarter of 2012, and loss from operations of 306 million RMB during the same period of last year. The company's total operating expenses in the first quarter of 2013 were 164.1 million RMB, representing a decrease of 78.9% sequentially and a decrease of 47.6% year-over-year. During the first quarter of 2012, the company recognized a provision of 129.8 million in inventory purchase with prepayment under the long-term polysilicon supply contract as a result of the adverse developments in supply operations. Total operating expenses excluding non-cash charges consisting of provision for bad debts and impairment of long-lived assets, a write-off for equipment prepayment, and a provision for inventory purchase or prepayment under long-term contracts were 173.8 million RMB during the first quarter of 2013. This compares with 210.7 million RMB in the fourth quarter of 2012 and 150.8 million RMB during the same period last year. Operating margin in the first quarter of 2013 was -1.4%, compared with a negative of 62.9% in the fourth quarter of 2012 and a negative of 28.9% during the same period of last year. Net interest expense in the first quarter of 2013 was 55.3 million RMB, down 1.9% sequentially and down 6% year-over-year. We recorded a foreign currency exchange loss of 18.7 million RMB in the first quarter of 2012, primarily due to the foreign currency exchange loss of 33.7 million and a gain in fair value of forward contracts of 15 million RMB. We recognized a loss of 47 million RMB in change in fair value of convertible senior notes and capped call option during the first quarter of 2013. The company recognized an income tax expense in the first quarter of 2013 of approximately 13,000 RMB, compared with a tax expense of 83,000 RMB from fourth quarter of 2012 and no income tax expenses during the same period of last year. Net loss in the first quarter of 2013 was 128.7 million renminbi yuan, compared with a net loss of 761.1 million in the fourth quarter of 2012 and a net loss of 356.3 million in the first quarter of 2012. This translates into basic and diluted loss per ADS of 5.8 renminbi yuan or 92 cents US dollar. Non-GAAP net loss in the first quarter of 2013 was 75.3 million renminbi yuan, compared with non-GAAP net loss of 699.5 million renminbi yuan in the fourth quarter of 2012, and non-GAAP net loss of 330.5 million renminbi yuan in the first quarter of 2012. This translates into a non-GAAP basic and diluted loss per ADS of renminbi 3.4 yuan and 56 cents US dollar. I would now like to take a quick look at our balance sheet. As of March 31, 2013, the company had renminbi 790.7 million in cash and cash equivalents and restricted cash. As of March 31, 2013, total short-term borrowings, including the current portion of long-term banking borrowings, were 2.47 billion renminbi yuan, compared with 2.25 billion as of December 31, 2012. Total long-term borrowings were 344 million as of March 31st, 2013, compared with 167 million as of December 31st, 2012. Now, let me turn to our guidance. For the second quarter of 2013, we expect total solar module shipments to be approximately 450 megawatts to 470 megawatts. For the full year 2013, total solar module shipments to remain between 1.2 gigawatts to 1.5 gigawatts, and total project development scale is expected to be between 200 megawatts and 300 megawatts. We expect to maintain our in-house annual silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production capacity at approximately 1.2 gigawatts each by the end of 2013. At this moment, we are happy to take your questions. Operator.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel a request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question from the line comes from Philip Shen from Roth Capital. Please ask a question.
Good evening. This is Matt on the line for Phil. Thanks for taking my questions. Just wanted to start by exploring the effect of the anti-dumping duties and its effect specifically on your gross margins. You posted a strong gross margin this past quarter. Maybe you could share with us sort of your expectations for the remainder of the year in terms of gross margins and how the EU duty factors into it. How does it affect your gross margins?
I think you're speaking of the European anti-dumping tariff and to affect our gross margin. And as everybody knows that, the news is come out in June 7th, right? The June 7th. I think a temporary anti-dumping rate is 11.7% until to the August 4th. I think that we do not believe, that will affect too much on the gross margin because, that tariff will be trade off, by this SP price, maybe, little go up. So from August, I think, any sales to Europe, depend on the negotiation between the Chinese government and to the European, economic zone committee. So basically, we cannot forecast in the future the tariff will affect our gross margin, but we do think JinkoSolar is already takes the strategy is
I think shipping more to other emerging markets. So the whole year, our original forecast is around 20% of our sales is to Europe to reduce the effect, you know, the impacts by the tariff. So we do not think, you know, that will affect us, you know, the guidance, whole sales guidance and the gross margin too much.
Okay, and just to follow up on that briefly, I think last call you guys had guided to about 30% of the mix of your shipments going to Europe, and now are you saying it's 20% for the remainder of the year?
Well, for the whole year is around 20%, yeah.
Yeah, let me add here, Sam. This is Arturo, the CMO. Mainly, what we have been very lucky is that mainly our European customers are also entering into emerging markets. So when we are selling to most of these big companies, they are also distributing these containers, these megawatts, into markets outside Europe. So it helps us to reduce our exposure into Europe, even if we are keeping the same customers. And then at the same time, we are obviously entering into new customers, and right now we have more than 250 worldwide, and a lot of them are within these new emerging markets.
Okay, great. That's helpful. And then just one more, if I may. You know, given some of the shifts in the markets that you guys are going to, and the changes caused by the EU anti-dumping duties, can you just talk about how you expect OPEX to trend for the remainder of the year? It'd be helpful maybe if you could give it to us on a quarterly basis.
I think you're talking about operations expenses, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I follow the question. I think basically if you look at, you know, the first quarter and, you know, our total operation expenses is around $26 million and account for the revenue around 14%. And that's just purely, you know, for the first quarter, even we're not, in, you know, accounting for too much EPC revenue. So we believe, you know, on the second quarter, as our shipments continue, as you can see the guidance, to go to 450 megawatts to 470 megawatts, plus other, you know, revenue continue to increase. I think that as the revenue, you know, continue to increase, the absolute, you know, the expenses, we don't think we will increase too much. It's around 26, 27 million. And, but the percentage definitely, I think, will go down. So basically, for overall the whole year, we will, you know, stay in line between 13% to 15%.
Great, that's helpful, and that's it for me. Thank you, guys.
Your next question comes from Amy Song from Goldman Sachs. Please ask a question.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I just have a few questions. First is the follow-up question on the Europe anti-dumping temporary tariff. You said the you expecting pass the tariff to your customer. So what is the common practice right now? What happened in the supply chain the past couple of days? What is the most common way people doing with that? Is it passing through all the way to customer or somebody willing to share the kind of cost? I guess there's some competitiveness within there as well, right? Or your strategy just want a profit, not shipment. What's your philosophy of dealing with this uncertainty here? So this is my question. And then the second question is, if you raise price, what would be European demand looks like? Is it going to contract demand? I guess there we don't see a very lucrative IR in Europe right now. So you're not forecast any Europe demand for you know, declining based on that, even with a temporary rate. So can you give me some background or maybe your thoughts on that? Then I have follow-up question on pod price. Thank you.
Okay, to answer your first question.
Okay.
Amy.
I will answer the first one. Or you want to go ahead, Sam?
Okay, let me answer the question first, then I think maybe Arturo can, you know, comment on more. To answer your first question, you know, I think from beginning of the, you know, to June 7th, the news come out. We do not think, you know, from, you know, the news release, you know, any dumping that, you know, will affect, you know, on the tariff side. From, you know, June 7th to, I think, you know, August 4th, whatever, you know, that period right now, the temporary 11.7%, we believe, okay, I think at this moment, because the order, rush order from European, we think we can, you know, transfer that into the SP. Third, to answer your second question, I think, you know, with after, you know, August the 4th, and you maybe impact, you know, the tariff to, you know, the real tariff to 41%, you know, I think without any good results come from between Chinese governments and EU, I think that is a good question. We do not believe, you know, you can transfer that whole 41% tariff go to on the SP. So that's why I think it's very, I think, a negative impact on the, I think, Chinese manufacturer if that really happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To complement the comments from our CFO, from the market perspective, and to answer your question, we are, in fact, in touch with most of our loyal customers, the ones that have been growing with Ginkgo. And we are in a way in a position to negotiate with them and to reach an agreement in the way that according to the situation right now, we have exactly 1 month in order to produce as much as we can. And unfortunately, we are almost sold out, so it's not so much volume, but still we can catch up some increase on price with the demand that we are seeing in the short term very, very strong. After that, after the 47% is implemented as a preliminary, because probably there will be a lot of discussions and finally will be clear, this is our expectation, but in the meantime, we will need to have a lot of negotiations, and it's always on a case-by-case process.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
All right, then. Yeah. Okay. And then my second question is the on your poly price. You reported polysilicon cost per watt basis is 9 cents, in line with same as what you reported fourth quarter. But it's some question that this is some number doesn't match spot price here. Spot poly price hiked roughly 20% in the first quarter. Why is your polysilicon cost not hiking at all?
To answer your question, Amy. Hello.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, I think a silicon price in our, you know, average purchase price cost in the fourth quarter actually is $17 per kilogram. So our cost is 9.3% per watt. In the first quarter, our average cost is $16 per kilogram. Actually, our average cost is go down because inventory continue consuming. So our cost is 9 cents per watt. I think that's our price. Of course, right now the spot price may be a little up. I think domestic steel is around $16 to $17 per kilogram. Import may be around $18 to $19. So because that's Ginkgo, we didn't have any long-term contracts. We buy the inventory, buy the silicon from, you know, the market. So that's our cost.
Okay, so should I assume that in the second quarter you will report a little bit higher cost per watt basis because your cost, you know, moving average is going to be increased?
It depends on, you know, the silicon price. Right now we think, you know, we still can buy the domestic around $16 to $17. So we don't think right now, at least right now, the silicon price will go up too much.
Okay. Can you give me a percentage split between poly purchase from domestic and overseas? What's the percentage split?
I think, you know, I cannot give you exactly, but right now we think we can buy domestic around $16 to $17, and import maybe $1, $2, you know, extra.
Yeah, I mean the quantity. What's the percentage split?
We think 80% is domestic, 20% is import.
Okay, so given your margin improving, is your domestic vendor asking for more price at this point because they are not making money at all?
But the oversupply situation is still there.
But the polysilicon tariff is on the way, is that right?
We don't know.
I think there's, yeah, but that's widely on the news. I think there's a tendency from supply chain. Why are you making money? They are not making money, right? That doesn't make sense.
I don't know. Because this is, you know, I cannot answer the question. You have to ask in Chinese comments.
Okay, but I just want to ask you the tendency from your vendor. Is there any trend, any sentiment there from there?
I think, you know, I do not think, you know, that will happen even from Chinese governments. You see, especially right now, try to negotiation with EU, you know, the quarter and, you know, the minimum price. So I think it's a long time to come in from my, you know, personal experience.
Okay, great. Last question on Japan market. You say you're going to do 15% second quarter or whole year. I didn't get that number right at the beginning.
I think we are referring to the second quarter, and then expanding from there, we will be seeing increase on volumes in the Japanese market. We already released that we have 100 megawatts already contracted.
Okay. Okay.
And we have also an office and a team there.
Okay,
so we will see the expansion quarter after quarter increase growth.
Okay. For China market, are you expecting to be the whole year is going to be what percent of shipment, and also second quarter, or maybe second half? I didn't get that early, sorry. Is that just China market alone?
Well, in China market, we are seeing a big, big boom. Q1 was slow because of the winter season, but Q2 is extremely, extremely good. So, well, we are not going to release the number, but we already contracted over 300 megawatts. And then quarter three probably will be even more than that.
Amy, for the whole year, we may be accounted for, you know, around the China market, around 40%.
40%, okay. Is the second half loaded or first half loaded?
I think the second half will be higher than the first half.
Okay,
yeah.
Second half
but
is like utility scale or utility scale minute, right?
The utility scale.
Do you see like a rush order right now because the fit is going to adjust it anyway, maybe sometime at the beginning of next year? Do you see a rush order for utility scale from China?
We think it's stable so far.
Stable? Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you so much for your time. That's all my questions.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Your next question from the line comes from Satya Kumar from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Hi, this is Brandon Hyken speaking on behalf of Satya Kumar. Thanks for taking the question, guys. And congratulations on the gross margin and cost reductions. Can you talk about your gross margins in different markets? And can you talk about how you've achieved these cost reductions, particularly on the non-silicon cost, and where you think those cost reductions could go for the rest of the year, please?
Okay, I think let me ask in the second half, you know, I think Arthur can add, you know, the gross margin, you know, come from which market, you know, to compare with it. I think first of all, you know, this quarter we continue to reduce the cost on the non-silicon cost. Per watt right now is 42 cents right now. The major, I think, cutting is the module size. You know, we reduced to 28 cents per watt right now. And then plus the silicon cost, 9 cents, total cost is 51 cents. So we believe, I think we'll continue, I think, cutting on the, because through the sizable and also improve the technology and continue cutting on the non-silicon cost side, but that is not too much room, you know, to go because really we think, you know, right now the materials price and supply, we make efforts, I think, continue the cutting. For the different, I think, area, you know, the gross margin, overall, our gross margin is around 12.7%. And I think if you ask me, you know, major come from which market, I think it depends on the ASP selling in different market. We believe, I think, if something wrong, I think Arthur maybe can add more. So it's ASP. Yeah. Overall ASP, I think it's easy for you to calculation. I already give you gross margin. I already give you the cost. So I think, you know, you can either calculation SP is how much. I think Arthur maybe can add, you know, which market, you know, maybe the gross margin, SP maybe is a little higher than compared with other market.
Sure. What we are seeing in Q1 this past quarter is that we started our shipments to certain countries like South Africa. In South Africa specifically, the ASP is higher than in the rest. And the same for Japan. Japanese market has higher ESPs also because of the feed-in tariff. The subsidies are very generous there. For Asia-Pacific, India, and Thailand, normally they have an average ESP, so it's not much higher than Europe. But I think we have good customers also that they are also valuating and giving some extra price because of the quality and the good performance of our quality of our modules. So it's not so much on the geographical basis, apart of Japan and South Africa, but it's more on the level by level of the customer that we are willing and we are dealing with. But also, let me say that USA also the price is slightly higher because of the use of the cells from Taiwan.
Right, and what on that for Taiwan? How has the Taiwanese cell price trended because of U.S. tariffs, and then now with discussion of Europe tariffs, how has the Taiwanese cell price changed?
Yeah, well, it's increasing slightly, but I think we have it under control. So it's slightly higher than our sales in China, but we have a good supplier that we are dealing with them and negotiating for volumes on a deal-by-deal basis.
Okay. Do you expect that to increase with European tariffs further?
Well, obviously, the U.S. market will be very interesting for Jinko and for the solar industry, especially if there is the anti-dumping tax in the European countries. But again, we are very, very, very keen on having a very good distribution, geographical distribution, and not only USA, but other markets like in Asia Pacific, like in South America, are complementing each other. So even if the cost of Taiwan itself is high, also ASP is higher in USA. And other markets, we can sell our normal standard products that is high performance, high quality, but lower cost.
Okay. And then last question on Japan. I know that the shipments to Japan were 1.7 gigawatts for the total industry in the first quarter, but I believe installations were less than that. Can you comment on channel inventory in Japan and how you expect that to change, please?
Well, Japan is definitely booming. It has been, as you said, 1.7 gigawatts. I have these numbers in front of me. And with this high feed-in tariff, probably will remain very strong. The point here, I'm not so sure how much stock there is in the channel. I don't think so. There is too much. Also because they're having a very strong rate of installations for the residential market, commercial roofs, but also for large-scale projects that we will be seeing in the next coming quarters. And for Jinko, we got a little bit late because of our focus in other markets, but we are considering Japan very strategical, and this is why we are having all the success right now. In a very short term, we focus and we invested enough to get the people locally and also to have our certifications and to get ready to sign more megawatts than the contracts already announced.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Your next question comes from Emily Liu from Arete Research. Please ask the question.
Hi, congratulations on the gross margin improvement and very successful cost reduction. And I actually have two questions. First of all, I wonder whether you can give us some guidance on the annual CapEx and how the CapEx will be spent, especially on efficiency improvement. And my second question is on Japan. I wonder whether you can give us some color on your strategy in Japan. What kind of segment do you focus on? Is it on residential or projects? And how? I wonder whether you have guidance for your target annual shipment to Japan.
Okay, I think let me answer the first question, and Arthur maybe answer the second question. For the over, you know, for the first quarter, I think Jinko CapEx is around $5.4 million, and
okay.
We believe, you know, we're not going to increase, you know, the capacity from wafer, cell, and module. So major
mm-hmm.
CapEx is the maintenance. So
okay.
Our planning is for whole year. The CapEx is around $15 million.
Okay.
For this year.
Right. Do you have a plan on improving efficiency, maybe on wafer or cells? Upgrading some of the equipment for efficiency?
Basically, you know, most of those is technology side, yes, in the R&D side, you know, and we
right.
spend some money. And but we do not think we have a large, you know, CapEx on that. Just like you see,
okay.
we already announced the, you know, Eagle 2. So
mm-hmm.
we do not think, you know, you were spending, you know, a lot of money to do that.
Okay. Okay. And second question on Japan. I just wonder if
yes.
you can be more specific.
Yeah, this is Arturo,
the
CMO.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me give you some idea on our strategy. We started in Japan with the focus on first understanding with our business development team the different players and which is the segments that are going to be picking up very fast and which ones are slowing. So what we have seen is that residential market at the beginning was faster. However, the
uh-huh.
quantity of megawatts is in a small quantity of systems, so it's mainly on the distribution channel. So we are entering into some distribution partnership with local
mm-hmm.
companies that they do distribution for Jinko. But immediately we saw some commercial roofs that are bigger size and also is helping us to increase volumes. And this is why for Q2 we are doubling the quantities on Q1 in Japan. And then also we are in some larger scale projects that will be coming from now on, from Q2, Q3, and Q4. So we are targeting the three major segments. The important thing is to get into Japan with the right product. Higher efficiencies are also very well received. And also at, the price is higher because of the subsidies are much better.
Okay, so do I assume that Jinko enters Japanese market with its own brand? And can you give me the exact number on the quarterly shipment to Japan, if possible?
Well, I can give you a range. Definitely, we are selling under Jinko Solar brand.
Okay.
This is different from our competitors. But also, we do have a couple of customers that they use their own brand. But mainly we will be focusing much more on promoting and doing marketing on Jinko Solar brand. But it will take also, obviously, a time, right? And then for the target of this year for Japan, we are targeting around 100 to 150 megawatts or even more. So far, we have already in contracts in
mm-hmm.
this year more than 80 megawatts. Already contracted, so we believe that there is good room for reaching 150 in 2013.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks.
You're welcome.
For my question, yeah.
Your next question comes from Dan Rees from Maxim Group. Please ask a question.
Hi, thank you for taking the question. A lot of my questions have been answered, but maybe I could ask a little bit more about China. I suspect that is the second quarter rise in shipments, which seems to be well above your capacity, is that driven largely by China? And if so, could you discuss maybe how China prices have trended in recent months as the world's capacity seems to be getting a little tighter, the impact that China's having on gross margin? In other words, if it goes up a lot in the volume in the second quarter, wouldn't that put some pressure on gross margins? But it doesn't seem like you're indicating that. And then how do you think about the third quarter if Golden Sun ends? You've said the second half is bigger. What's picking up the slack? Is it just the utility projects, or is there something as distributed generation started to take off as well for the second half of the year?
Arturo, you want to answer the question, or you want me?
Yes, okay, I can start now. So this is again Arturo. For our conversations and our internal discussions, it seems that the Chinese market is strong and stable, but going up, especially for a leader like Jinko Solar that we have become in the second half of last year and this coming quarter, we are definitely leader in this market. But the main thing is that we are seeing also a rebound or increase on the currencies of the Chinese renminbi. So it's helping to improve the ASP in the Chinese market. So compared to European markets before the anti-dumping preliminary announcement, the prices was more or less the same, maybe slightly lower. But going forward, we will see how much is the rush in order to fulfill all the installations that are in the pipeline before there is any more rumors on the cut on the feed-in tariff. So we definitely expect this year to be very strong, and it will help to at least to have a stable pricing.
Okay. You know, with gross margin now in the double digits and I guess expected to remain there, you're going to ship well above your capacity in 2Q. What would it take for you to consider additional capacity? Is it something that's, you know, is it something that is possible by the end of the year if things were to continue, particularly with being a leader in China, if China is thought to maybe even be a bigger market in 2014 and 15, wouldn't you want to have capacity to serve that and remain a leader?
I think, Dan, let me ask, answer your question. Okay, first of all, I think the gross margin, we think we can continue to keep, you know, double digits. Maybe you think, you know, because the shipments is, you know, the China shipments more and more percentage. But do we think, you know, selling in China, A, is reduce the risk of country, you know, on the collectible side. Second is, you know, because of retaining your contract, you see, our ASP actually is not lower, frankly speaking, you know, because of the tax, you know, 5%, 10%, we, you know, not recognize the revenue. We maybe recognize later when we collect it. So that's a, you know, to answer your question. Secondly, you know, to answer your second part, you know, the second quarter, our guidance right now is, I think, 450 and to 470. As a major shipment, partially come from the inventory of the end of the first quarter. Second is we also outsourcing some cell and, you know, wafer even, you know. Our module capacity actually can be easily to increase a little, use the existing capacity, you know. The normal design is, yes, 1.2 gigawatts, but we can increase to, easily increase to 100, you know, 1.2 gigawatts a little more. So we believe, you know, I think the second quarter, I think it's already on schedule, basically. And we will continue to do that because even increase, if the market is really good, you know, we maybe increase on the module capacity, you know, to another, you know, 50 megawatts, but it's not costing, you know, CapEx too much because there actually is nothing. Maybe $1 million U.S. dollars.
So you're going to use partners for the initial, if you have demand in excess of your capacity, partners would be used in the early days?
Yeah.
For the cells? Okay. That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dan.
Your next question comes from Paul Strickler from Esplanade. Please ask a question.
Hey, guys. Can you just provide a little more detail on how much EPC non-module cell and wafer revenue in volume you recognized in Q1 and how much you expect to recognize over the rest of the year?
Okay. Just to give you first of all revenue, I think from revenue, we have first quarter total revenue is 187 million, and of which wafer is 5 million, cell is 8 million, module is 168 million. For the first quarter, we didn't recognize any EPC revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So from now on, maybe in the second quarter, even in the fourth, we possibly have revenue from EPC, then also from sales of the, you know, solar projects, solar power plant. So that's possible.
Mm-hmm. And so for the entirety of 2013, you know, is there a number you guys, you mentioned in your guidance, I didn't catch that, how many megawatts you intend to build, but I guess how many megawatts do you intend to recognize for EPC and sales?
We give guidance is, okay, we will sell module for whole year 2013 is 1.2 gigawatts to 1.5 gigawatts. We also will, you know, construction or maybe, you know, construction the size for the power solar power plant is between 200 megawatts to 300 megawatts.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you intend to recognize In terms of revenue, or is that in which you intend to build?
No, it's intention to build. So by the end of this year, maybe we have some, you know, finished projects on hand, installed, or we have maybe some under construction. So overall, the whole year is around 200 to 300 megawatts.
Mm-hmm.
For example, right now, by the end of the Q1, right now, we're around like 140 megawatts project, solar projects right now, finished and under construction. Right now, okay.
And then just one last question on ASPs. So my math suggests you had about a 59-cent ASP in Q1. That was well below your peers. I mean, it seems like ASPs for you guys, even with 40% of your volumes going to China in Q2, should increase. Obviously, like, you're not going to comment exactly on ASPs, but is it possible your ASPs could sort of hit the mid to low 60-cent range sometime in the near future?
Okay, first of all, I'm not, you know, your calculation is correct, I think.
Uh-huh.
Second is, you know, already explained why Jinko, I think the ASP maybe cannot comparable to other company, because when we sell to China the contract, the retainage contracts, and for, you know, for accounting method, reviewed by the PwC, asking for that 5 to 10% retainage cannot be recognized revenue until we collect it. So by the end of first quarter, we have deferred 131 million renminbi yuan right now. We're not recognized. So that may be affect our, you know, ASP. Second is, we believe, I think, you know, especially right now, the European tariff, you know, temporary tariff is coming. We believe second quarter, the ASP will be slight up. I think maybe Arthur can comment on that.
Yeah, sure. This is again Arturo. Mainly the ASP is depending on different factors. The first one, and I think is very important if you compare to our peers, is that we produce mainly polycrystalline modules, so we don't have so much shipments on monocrystalline. And mono is much more cost in mm-hmm. production, but also higher ASP. So this is one big difference from our competitors. Even our efficiencies are at the same level as monocrystalline modules with the polycrystalline. It's a very tiny difference. We ship most of our contracts in polycrystalline modules.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is that most of our shipments are on CIF basis, so we deliver to the port. And as you know, because of the anti-dumping situation, a lot of our competitors were shipping on DDP basis because the customer didn't want to have or to share or to get the risk on the anti-dumping tax.
Mm-hmm.
So most of our shipments has been so far on CIF basis, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also lower in terms of price. The third point is the market distribution. We are entering into the U.S. market, but probably not so strongly in terms of megawatts than some of our competitors.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, we don't have to buy so many Taiwanese cells, but at the same time, we don't have so many volume in megawatts already sold in the U.S. during the Q1. So then the ASP is not so high in this market. The same as Canadian market, where the ASP is higher, and Japanese market, where we are entering, and we will see much more volume coming in the next quarter, where the ASP will be higher.
Great.
So mainly these are the three aspects that makes the ASP different from our competitors, apart of the comments from our CFO regarding the 5 to 10% that we cannot recognize from the Chinese projects. Going over the next coming quarters, we will see an improvement on the ASPs, and price will be higher, slightly higher, because of these new sales into these big markets where ASP is higher.
Mm-hmm. Great. No, that's perfect. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great weekend.
You are welcome. Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Jane Chu from Deshaw & Co. Please ask the question.
Hi. First, congratulations for the results. I have a couple of questions. The first one is according to my calculation, it seems like the average selling price in Q1 was 7% higher than Q4. Because in Q4 you had like 30 millions of EPC revenue, but in Q1 there is no EPC, so the shipments is slightly higher. So the average ASP actually is 7% higher than Q4. So what's the reason for that? It seems that all the ASPs seems to be very stable in Q1.
Well, okay,
If I can answer, or you go first, Sam? Yeah, I'll answer first. Okay, looks, you know, total revenue is I think in the flat almost, you know, compared to Q4. Just I explained in the, you know, in the, I think the meeting, because of in Q4 we recognize, you know, some EPC revenue. So basically, the module as shipments go up, the ASP also go up. But the total revenues go, you know, flat because, you know, I think, you know, partially is reduced by we didn't have any EPC revenue to recognize. So you're right. The ASP compare Q1 compare Q2, you know, is increased.
Okay. So is it simply because they are better demand or some country mix change that's, you know, selling more products to the country that has a higher ASP?
Yes, as I said before, this is Arturo again. There is both, I mean, there are several variables that are affecting, and one of them is the improvement on the demand. In overall, we have seen Q1 much better market than Q4 last year. So when there is demand and we see that all our lines of production has been almost 100% full, then obviously we don't need to sell at a lower prices, and we are at the same time seeing that in some markets what we are entering right now, like South Africa market or like Japan market, we are seeing higher price than in markets like in China, for example.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I see. Okay, so my next question is about the guidance. Do you have the gross margin guidance for Q2 or by the end of the year, and the gross margin guidance and shipment for the full year?
I think we just given out, you know, the shipment guidance. As you know that, you know, for the 2013, our shipment is between 1.2 megawatts to 1.5, you know, gigawatts, I think, on the module shipments. Then we also, I think, on the solar power plant, the size between 200 megawatts to 300 megawatts. And for the module gross margin, we cannot, you know, given you guidance, but we believe the selling price, SP, from Q2, even Q3, will slide up. But on the cost side, we still think JinkoSolar have the ability to keep it stable or even go down further.
Mm-hmm.
And for the total revenue, I think expectation or projection, I cannot give guidance because all the other, you know, possible revenue will come in. Actually, the major three. One is EPC revenue. Second is the, you know, the power, solar power plant we sell. Third is, you know, the retainage we collected. So I cannot give you guidance for the whole year revenue.
Okay. Thanks.
Your next question comes from Wei Feng from Luminous Management. Please ask the question.
Hey, Sam. Thank you for taking my question. Good job on cost cutting, very impressive. Just on the 200, 300 megawatts projects under construction probably this year, are they all Chinese products or is there products from other market? And can you comment on the gross margin? Also, I think cash payment is most important. Just wondering how's the cash payment term for those product sales, and do you have the buyer first before you start construction, or you start construction with PPA and then looking for buyers? Thanks.
I think that's a good question. I think, first of all, we give guidance, I think, around 200 to 300 megawatts. I think a majority, I think most is Chinese projects. And so far, I only can tell you is we have projects under construction and finished today, and today is around 140 megawatts. And two projects is already, I think, generated electricity. As you know that, all Jinko's projects, when we started, you know, we all got a PPA, everything, you know, the approve, everything. But, you know, all these projects right now is in China, as you know that. I think, you know, we have approved feed-in tariff, but, you know, the collection still is in the process, is, you know, the government still, is, I think, is not finalized. But we see, I think, the leadership, you know, everything is changing right now. I think, you know, by the end of this month, what we see is clear. I think, you know, the money payments, you know, we'll streamline all these payments and all these things. So we believe as soon as all these settled, you see, first of all, I think the feed-in tariff, you know, the payments on time. Second is, you know, I think, you know, if they're not restrict any electricity generated by the solar power plant, you know, to sell, to, you know, I think feed, hook into the, you know, the national grid. I think the IR on those projects right now, we believe, you know, generally speaking, the IR is around, you know, 10% to 15%. So if even if you use the leverage, the banking loans, I think the returns will be higher. So basically, we still think, you know, we still believe, I think, you know, invest on the solar power plant, I think the returns or gross margin will be higher than, you know, on the module side.
Got it. There is a lot of speculation on the new feed-in tariff from NDRC by the end of the month. Can you give us your view on the potential feed-in tariff level and scheme?
I think you are talking about the ARGE, I think maybe, you know, like the like two steps. Is two steps, right?
Right.
I think that, I think it's already have 45 cents, 35 cents, all ARGE is there. I think, you know, I'm not sure, you know, on that side, because you see, we still think the Chinese government is definitely is, you know, very supportive on the solar industry, as you can see that. But so far, you know, our solar power plant, I think, is most is $1 per kWh feed-in tariff. And one project is 1.15, Deling Ha, I think, you know, 15, right, megawatts. It's total 30, 20, right? Total is 30 megawatts on the Deling Ha, but, you know, partial is $1.15, and the partial is, you know, $1. But
you mean the mean be one, right? Not dollar,
yeah.
One.
The mean be one. If dollar one, then I can sell you with gross margin 100%.
Yeah, awesome.
So basically, I think, you know, I think the governments will continue, I think, support on that side. You know, as you can see that right now, the build cost in China right now, everything, land license, everything, you know, per watt cost maybe around RMB is around like 9 RMB to, you know, 9.5. So in some area like Xinjiang, I think definitely I think you know IR is higher. So only thing is waiting for the government, you know, to make everything clear and, you know, the payments, everything, you know, the streamline everything, you know. So I think the value, the project value is there.
Thank you. That's all for me.
Thank you.
There are no further questions on the line at this time. I would now like to hand back to Mr. Sebastian Liu for closing remarks.
All right. On behalf of the management team of Jinko Solar, I would like to thank you for everyone joining us today. And if you have further questions or concerns regarding today's conference call, please contact us or visit our IR website. And have a good day. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you, operator.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.
I'll see you.